I want to talk a little bit about victory over the darkness tonight. And I want you to turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Jude, the book of Jude, just before Revelation. We're going to begin with verse 1 of the book of Jude. And I like the way the writers of the epistles, they introduce themselves. They start out. They don't come off, you've heard me say this before, but they don't come off with Jude, the great apostolic leader. You know, with all the degrees and all the labels following. What does he say? Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. To those who are called, who would that be? The church, called out ones, set apart, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Now we know that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. We are to live by faith, not by sight. We are to fully trust in the Lord Jesus. And not in our own performance, not in our own works, but in Jesus himself. Faith in God moves mountains. Faith in God justifies us. Amen? Because it was God who took the initiative to provide for us an atonement for our sins by sending his only begotten Son into the world. So Jesus came and he willingly laid down his life for us. Because we could not save ourselves, it had to be this way. God himself became a man in the Son. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was obedient even to the point of dying on the cross. He went all the way for us, so we could be liberated, set free from the penalty of sin. Isn't it good to be forgiven tonight? Amen. To know that God loved me so much that he gave Jesus for me. And now I look and I see him there, you know, and I say, thank you, Jesus, that it was for my sin that you died. Have you made it personal? It was for your sin that he died. And so my sin is there on the cross with Jesus. When he died, he said, it is finished. The price has been paid. And now we come as recipients to receive of the grace of God. Not as something we can achieve or earn, but something we receive by faith. Believing God's report to us that he has provided salvation, eternal life through his Son Jesus. And when I put my faith in Jesus, I am set free from fear, from guilt, from shame, from condemnation. I'm free indeed. I don't trust in myself because I know in myself I don't have what it takes, and neither do you. And when we try to achieve something that God has already freely given, we are living in a place called bondage of performance and never quite making it, never quite measuring up. And because we could not measure up, God took the initiative in the plan of redemption and sent Jesus on our behalf to become sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Isn't that awesome? We need to be reminded of that, you know, that very basic, the most basic thing is the most powerful message of all, folks. It is the power of the message of the cross.
Amen.
It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, which is the power of God unto salvation to all who hear. Those who hear are those who receive what he said. Receiving what he says is receiving Jesus. You receive his word, you're receiving him. You reject his word, you're rejecting him. So we receive the word. And the word manifests himself in us. We become alive through the word. Amen? Hallelujah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Jude was writing here because even in the early church, there were those who were perverting the gospel. There were heretics at that time, those who were teaching false doctrine, you know, and they were trying to draw disciples after themselves. And there were those who were perverting the gospel and teaching that, yes, it is by grace, but it is also by observing the law. And so people were confused because they were, you know, they were hearing out of, on one side, they were hearing, yes, there is freedom in Christ through the redemption in his blood. I'm set free from the law of sin and death. And then there are these others that were trying to put me right back under that thing again, which I could not live up to the first place. And so they're saying, are you a Christian? It would probably say, yeah, I'm a believer. Are you having victory? They'd probably say, no, I'm not. And why is that? Well, because I don't know. I just don't have what it takes to live up to God's standard. I can't live a perfect life. Well, of course we can't. None of us can. See, that's not supposed to be our focus. Our focus is not supposed to be living a perfect life.
No.
Our focus is to be on him.
Yes.
I live for him.
Yes.
I walk with him.
Yes.
I believe in him.
Yes.
I'm trusting fully in his grace.
Yes.
Not on what I can do, but what he's already done. And I just simply walk with Jesus and I walk in peace.
Mm-hmm.
When you walk with Jesus, when you're in relationship with him, then you don't do those things that grieve him. Amen. Once again. But it has to be that way. It can't be grace and performance. It's grace. Now we know that God, through Jesus Christ, has overcome. Amen?
Yes.
In the areas that the first Adam had failed, Jesus Christ, the last Adam, overcame. He lived without sin, fulfilled all righteousness, has now sat down at the right hand of God the Father. He is our intercessor there.
Yeah.
He is praying for us.
Yeah.
We come to the Father through the Son. We call on Jesus. Or we say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we pray and we call on the Father. And we thank the Father for what he's already done. When you blow it, you simply thank God for grace. Thank God for forgiveness. Lord, thank you for forgiveness. I'm sorry, I receive your forgiveness. It's settled already. You don't have to carry that thing around with you. Too many people are carrying around all this baggage. God says, leave it at the cross. I've already taken care of it. What are you doing carrying it? Give it to me. I will take your burdens if you let me love you. See, God wants us to let him love us. God wants to love us. And so often we don't let him love us because we think we have to do for him. we think we have to do for him, folks. It's God loving you that will transform you. The realization, the revelation that God really loves me. God is really my friend. He loves me and he's for me. When I realize that, I want to serve him. I want to please him. I want to honor the one I love. Because you love people who love you. In this world, is that not true? It's easy to love people who love you. You know when people like you even. I believe that God not only loves us, but he also likes us. Because we're his creation. He likes, he said it's good. Even though the clay may be marred, he says, well, I'm going to do something about that. But you can't do it. I'm going to do it. All you need to do is yield. Be pliable. Just let me work it out. Quit struggling to do it yourself. Because if you had a lump of clay that was trying to do its own thing while you're trying to form it, it don't work. The clay has to be pliable. The clay has to have water applied to it, amen, to make it soft and pliable. So the Spirit softens our heart. He softens us with his oil, if you will. He begins to mold our lives and shape us into a vessel of honor. So what we need to understand is that sin, according to Romans 6:14, shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, but under grace. Because of our redemption, sin no longer reigns in our lives. Grace now reigns in us. It begins with grace and it's going to be completed by grace. But see, that's difficult for someone who is used to doing well and performing for God to receive. But then they begin to compare themselves, you see. Then they get judgmental. Because they don't realize that it was mercy in their own life. Or they've forgotten the mercy that God showed them. And so, yes, the message of grace is going to be criticized because there are people who are just going to say, oh, that's, you know, were you saying that we can go out and sin and do whatever we want? No, not at all. Because Titus tells us that the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. When you are really receiving the grace of God, you already know that. It's not, oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. It's, you knew you did that. And when you grieve the Spirit, you feel sorry because he's in you. When you're born again, you're a new creation. Hallelujah. You can't just comfortably do what you used to do. And if you can, then you're probably not born again. Now, sin has no authority over you. Did you know that? Do you know that Satan has no authority over us except what we give him? Satan has no authority in your life if you're in Christ. Now, people will make excuses and they will say, well, I couldn't help myself. But Jesus has overcome. In Colossians 1:13, it says, the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We have been brought out of darkness and into light. Satan has no authority over you except what you yield to him. As a matter of fact, how many know this? But we have to be reminded of this, that we actually have authority over him. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. You see, it's all about believing what God said. If you don't believe that, then he's going to continue to knock you around, to beat you down, to condemn you, to make you feel guilty and shameful and remind you of your past, and you won't have victory. If you believe what God says, you start thinking on speaking on that. You know, who you want to be like is who you're going to be like.
That's right.
I want to be like Jesus. How about you?
Amen.
And I become like Jesus when I receive his word. Because you can't separate him from his word. Jesus said in John 14:12, that most assuredly I say to you, that he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, right? We know this. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now that means that you and I are to be doing the works that Jesus did. And I have to ask the question, if I'm not doing the works that Jesus did, why is that? Because it's certainly not God's fault. Could it be my own unbelief? Because sometimes we compare ourselves, you know, and we take a look at ourselves and we say, well, if you're living in the measure up mentality, you're going to realize that you fall miserably short. When you start looking at yourself as a means of being just with God, justified with God, being right with God, then we realize that we just don't measure up, and we fall back under condemnation. And when there's condemnation, there's a lack of trust and faith. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So if we're living in that place of performance, we're going to continue to be living in a place of defeat, because we're not going to measure up, and you're going to know it. And when you don't have confidence towards God, you're not going to see the miracles of God. Miracles are a result of faith, like everything else.
Yeah.
Faith in what God has promised. So we've got to get ourselves out of the picture and say, it's not about me and it's not of me. It's about Jesus, and it's about being part of what he's doing. And in that sense, yes, it is about me, that I'm with Jesus and we're doing this together. But my unbelief is what so often just shuts me off from the flow of grace. The devil will beat you up. You didn't pray enough. You didn't read your Bible enough. You didn't do this enough. You didn't do that enough. You're not measuring up. And the more that you listen to that, the more you start to believe it. And then you just start to get into a place of self-condemnation. And I'm so unworthy. Why would God do anything for me? Look how I've been performing lately. Now, am I saying that we don't pray, we don't read our Bible? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that that is not the basis for you being right with God and being an instrument that he can use. That's performance. Those things should follow a heart that is in full assurance of faith. I'm first of all trusting Jesus, believing in Jesus. Out of that comes the grace that I need to even begin to hunger and thirst for God. Do you know that that hunger comes from God too?
Yes.
You've got to whet your appetite. Amen.
Amen.
But it's always by grace and not by what you do. Because when we start to look at ourselves, we start to say, well, who am I? You know? Well, the fact is that we're nobody, like the song said, apart from him, without him. But who am I? I'm a new creation. Who am I? I'm a child of the Most High God.
Amen.
We have to have our confidence in our identity and who we are in Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how I feel like today. It doesn't matter what it looks like today. It doesn't matter what those voices are saying to me. If it's not the voice of truth, throw it out. It's like, wait a minute, I'm not listening to that one. I'm believing what God says about me today. So when we get into the Word, we begin to understand what God says about me. He reveals His heart, Himself to us. Is this making sense tonight? I mean, it's like, I've been there, you know, and at times I struggle with the same thing in my life where you start to put yourself in the place of being worthy to earn something, worthy to merit grace. Where when it had been grace all along from the very beginning, from God's eternal plan of redemption before the foundation of the world, He had already planned our redemption, that the Lamb of God would be slain. It's not what we did, folks. You've got to let yourself off that hook and go free to walk and run the race set before you, that you don't have to look back and meditate and think about all the bad things that were, because they're under the blood. Amen. Old things have passed away. I'm free. We need to first come to grips with the reality that I am right with God before we can move in the Holy Spirit like we should. You need to know that it's right in your heart with God. Do you know that you don't have to walk 12 miles on your knees to be right with God? Some people do that. They will, you know, flagellate themselves. They will cut themselves. They will walk on their knees. In some cases, they're literally having themselves nailed to a cross to try to appease God, to try to somehow be justified. What a shame. We don't have to do that. Jesus already took care of all of it for us. Often we do things just to appease our own conscience, you know. But it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses your conscience. There are people in the world that are trying to appease their conscience. You know, they're trying to do good deeds because they feel bad about the bad deeds. And they think if I do enough good deeds, it'll somehow take care of the bad deeds. And you know what the problem is there, right? Is that you can't come before God with any bad deeds. And so you've got to come by way of the cross. You've got to come through Jesus, through His blood, and cast your soul at His feet and say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have sinned and I am condemned by my own sin, but I believe that You died for me, shed Your blood for my sin, and that I'm putting my faith in You today, Lord, as my justifier. And I'm going to walk out of here with that burden off my back, that monkey's off my back. I'm going to walk free. And I'm going to walk in my destiny. I'm going to walk in my calling. I'm going to do what I've been called to do. See, God wants people to run the race here, amen, to serve Him. Amen. And we can't serve Him if we live in fear or shame or condemnation or guilt. We've got to get over that thing and say, that's crucified with Christ.
Yes.
My sin is gone. The first time I said, Jesus, please forgive me, my sin was gone. He'd already taken care of it over 2,000 years ago. What you need to do now is quit living and wallowing in the past and what you did wrong and start looking at Him and say, okay, Lord, let's do this thing together. Let's walk it out together. What do You want me to do, Lord? Here I am. Send me. See, Isaiah couldn't say that until the Lord first purged his sin, you know. Then he was saying, okay, here I am, Lord, send me. When God said, who will I send, you know. It's Isaiah 6. But the Lord purges us, He cleanses us, and He positions us so that we can run the race, amen, in this world, that we can have fruit unto eternal life. Now, we all know, James said it in chapter 4, verse 7, that we need to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Right. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. So we are in a spiritual battle, and we do need to resist the adversary. But again, let me just say this, because this is very key, is this is really a battle of truth. It's about what's true and what's false. Once you know what is true, what is false can no longer dominate you, can no longer dupe you, can no longer deceive you. So it's a matter of being renewed in the spirit of our mind through the revelation of who we are now in Christ, my new identity, and realizing what God has done. I meant my mind is being renewed and changed. Wow, how many have realized that your mind has really changed a lot? From how you used to think. That's the work of grace, by the way. Now, Jude here was talking to the church, and he was giving them a warning about those who would turn the grace of God into lewdness, licentiousness in the King James. But it was saying that there were those who are going to have a gospel of grace. They're going to speak about grace, but they're going to use it as a means of justifying their sinful lifestyle and behavior. So this is where grace is abused, where people receive the grace of God in vain. The message does not change. You cannot change the message to try to deal with those people who abuse grace. Are you with me? That's where we get into legalism. That's why people have thought, well, we'll just clobber them with the law and make them come under fear and bondage to that. Hopefully they'll live a clean life now. See, there's always going to be those who will abuse God's grace. But then each one of us shall give an account of ourselves someday, won't we?
Yep.
To what we've done in our body, whether it was good or evil. So you have to leave that to God and just trust God with them, pray for them, warn them who are unruly. Yes, do it in love, do it in the spirit of meekness, gentleness and respect. But we cannot change the message, folks, to try to control people to do what we think is right. There are many ministers, and I think to some degree in my own ministry, probably a definite yes, actually, there was times when I used the word to manipulate. And I did it with a good intention. I wanted to see people live right. So I was constantly trying to make them feel guilty. How many have been there, right? And every week they're down at the altar getting saved again, and they're like, yeah, we had how many saved? But they were saved last week too. But through guilt, we began to dump this stuff on them, and the problem was this, is that you had a lot of people who were living in fear, who were not being real. They were posers walking around pretending that I'm just so spiritual, yet inside they're saying, I'm a mess. I'm living in condemnation. I'm living in guilt. I'm living in shame. I'm living in fear because I can't live up to this standard and this stuff that's been dumped on me to live up to. And they're not understanding that you can't. You've got to come to Jesus. You've got to be a worshiper. It's about grace, receiving the grace freely given. He who thirsts, let him come and drink of the water of life freely.
Amen.
And so, yeah, there's been times where, you know, I can think back, especially when I start out, I meant well, but I was wrong. And one thing I realized is that people were not enjoying their walk. They were usually faithful. They were doing the right things. They were showing up on time. They were praying and singing in the choir or tithing or whatever else. But they were not enjoying the journey. Now, they put on this fake old smile sometimes to make you think that they were. But behind the mask, it was another story. They were not enjoying abundant life. I came, Jesus said, that you might have life, life to the full. Now, people who are in bondage are not going to get you. People in the body of Christ who are in bondage are not going to get you if you're walking in freedom. Just count on it. But don't ever change, amen, the message to try to appease someone who's living in bondage.
Right.
You ever been around people where you feel like they're just sizing you up the whole time? They're just judging you? Especially if you've got long hair and you wear a tie-dye. I bet you guys get it all the time, right? The church lady, right? Come on. And you know, I'm willing to bet that we've all done it too. At some time. Maybe in another way. How many maybe have judged people because they wore their suit and tie? Sometimes it actually shifts the other way. Hey, I don't care if you wear a suit or tie. I don't care if you wear a tie. It's not about the clothing. It's about the heart. It's not about what you wear. You know, this is what, folks, is attractive to the world, is a person who's free in the Lord. And they're seeing purity in your life. They're seeing this person is living clean, and they're not religious. That's anybody know what I'm talking about? Religion is a turnoff. When you come in here, you're going to have to look like this, you're going to act like this, you're going to... And you're just like, ugh, get it off me. And unfortunately, there are too many of our brothers and sisters who are under the religious spirit. And there's going to have to be some free people, slightly radical, that are going to, come on, be part of this movement. And we've got to let people know that the way that you're going about it is really is a way that's going to destroy you and rob you of your joy and of your inheritance, because you are putting yourself in the place of Savior. Not only do we begin in grace, but we are completed by grace. It's all about that. See, people who are religious will judge. They will look at others and they will compare themselves with others. And if they're doing really good and others are not, then they feel good about themselves. Has you ever been that way? Ever thought? Yeah. Sure, we've all done it. Because that's that nature that sometimes it pops its ugly head up, and it's a judgmental spirit that can get on us. You know, and we look at others and say, oh, you do that? We're trying to sometimes remove the sliver from somebody else's eye, and we don't even realize there's a plank of legalism in our own, you know? But I thank God for you, because you are a free people. And I've said this before, but a free people are very hard sometimes to manage. I don't know if that's even the right word. Encourage. Thank you. But, you know, we have to have an order, you know, and the order has to be by the Spirit. But it's a fine balance, because we've got to be very careful that we don't shut down people, you know, that need to be able to express themselves through the anointing and the giftings of God in their lives. And in even their expressions of praise and of faith, you know. And some people are going to be more demonstrative than others. But let us also, who are demonstrative, not judge those who are not so. And vice versa. And there are people come in and say, how dare they? It's kind of like Michal, you know, David's wife, who was saying, how dare you disrobe yourself and act like a fool out there in front of the maid, you know, servants. Because she didn't get it. She didn't understand where David was free. David danced before the Lord, it says, with all his might. He was free. And those who are in bondage don't get it. Are those weird people, though? Those loopy people over there in the orange church? Yeah, with the white cross? Come on over and have a good time with us. I'm forgiven. I'm justified. You know, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm the apple of his eye. My Father loves me. So your opinion of me, you know, is not going to change that. And what's normal in the kingdom to the world is going to be abnormal. And can I suggest that there's a lot of abnormal Christians, too, that they just need to get over. They need to get over some of these hurdles. And often these hurdles are the very same thing by false doctrine, by wrong teaching that has taught people, you know, that it's by your own performance that you're going to somehow be anybody. I'm already somebody. I don't have to try to achieve something I already am. And I don't have to try to accomplish something that God has already accomplished. Jesus has already accomplished it for me. God did it for me. What's my part? Believe. Trust. Listen to His voice. You see, when you're walking with Jesus, when you're believing and trusting in Him, you'll listen to Him. You'll obey Him. Why? Because you want to please the people you love. How many here are married tonight, right? Most of us. Have you been married? Then you know what it's like to try to please your mate. How many discovered that marriage can be really good when you're both trying to please each other? Amen. Well, God does things to please us. Did you know that?
Yes,
it's called grace.
Yeah.
He lavishes a grace upon us. He does so many good things for us. Not so we would just, you know, love that thing He did, but we would love Him.
Yes.
But the same thing is true that because we love Him, we want to do what pleases Him. That's the difference. And we don't have to do it to please people. Well, I better do this or else people will misunderstand me or they will judge me. So I better do what everybody else is doing. Oh, is everybody going to the altar today? Well, I better go to the altar too. Otherwise, somebody will think I'm not spiritual enough. Isn't it true? Have we discovered yet that people follow people? People do what other people do. All the media knows that. So they create their own demigods. They create their own, you know, divas. And people say, if you want to be in, you got to be like this person. If you want to be popular, if you want to be liked, you got to be like this person. They create these people, you know. They pull them off the back 40, they put some paint on them and stick them up there and say, but we've got to walk free. We've got to stay free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, it was all about people wanting to touch Jesus, wanting to be with Jesus. Zacchaeus climbing up into the tree to see Jesus. People wanted to be with Jesus. Amen? That's what it's about, being with Jesus. Is that not simple?
Yes.
Just walk with Jesus.
Amen.
And walk free. Don't let anybody put the handcuffs on you and put you in their box of what they think you should do. You listen to the voice of truth. You listen to what God is saying and listen to that voice only. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You for Your amazing grace. We thank You, Lord. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we might be called sons of God. Lord, Your word says to as many as receive You, to them You gave the right to become the sons of God. To them who believe on Your name, Lord, we believe You today. Lord, we receive You. We receive Your grace. Lord, for the journey. And Lord, thank You that we can come to You anytime, any place. And we can call upon our Father. And we can ask You for daily bread. And it is Your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. All we need to do is ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Oh God. Thank You. Thank You. Let's just look to the Lord right now. Just thank Him for His amazing grace. Thank You, Lord, that Your blood availed for me. Thank You that my sins are forgiven. Let that be your confession. Would you thank Him right now that your sins are forgiven? I'm trusting in You. Thank You, Lord, that You have set me free from the law of sin and death. And when the law could not save me, in mercy, God gave me His Son as an offering to pay my debt. Hallelujah. 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 It's the song of a soul set free. The world needs to hear the good news. Good news. Gospel means good news. That God has offered to us free of charge freedom from condemnation, freedom from guilt and shame, freedom from fear. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm reminded of the woman who came through the door and wept at Jesus' feet. She ministered to Jesus. She poured her heart out to Him. She wept on His feet and she washed His feet with her hair. And there was a Pharisee who sat with Jesus. Thought within himself, within his heart, he said, "Does he know what manner of woman this is?" And Jesus began to expose the secrets of his heart and the hypocrisy of that thought. He says, "I came in. You did not wash my feet." He said, "You didn't minister to me. And this woman has not ceased, you know, to kiss my feet and to worship me." You see, this woman had received grace. And her life would never be the same. She would be changed forever. Because she came and she received from the Master pardon, forgiveness. She was set free. All her sins were washed away, never to be remembered again. She was free indeed. So that's why we simply come and worship Jesus at His feet. And we pour out our hearts of gratitude to Him and thanksgiving for what He's done for us. And we've been given this ministry of reconciliation that we may go out of this place and we may share this with others who are in such bondage right now. This is the message that will liberate every captive soul. It's the message of God's grace, His amazing grace. If they will come, if they could but just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, they will be healed. They will be set free. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The world is waiting to hear this message. Would you go? Would you be an evangelist in your circle of influence? You don't have to go to people and tell them, "Stop doing this, stop doing that." Talk about how good Jesus is. Talk about what Jesus already did for them. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus.